Normally, when a magazine gets a big scoop, it shouts it to the world. But apparently not GQ. GQ's latest investigative piece challenges the official line on who was behind terrorist acts in Russia a decade ago. The story was published, but as NPR's David Folkenflik reports, GQ magazine's corporate owners have gone to extraordinary lengths to make sure no Russians will ever read the story.
For the war journalist Scott Anderson, the most confounding part of his story wasn't the suggestion of treachery and subterfuge he found over in Russia. It was the ultimate reception his story received back in the United States.
It was quite mysterious to me, but all of a sudden it became clear that they were going to run the article, but they were going to try to bury it under a rock as much as they possibly could.
Now, I'm looking now at the September issue with Michael Jackson on the cover. And there's stuff about Andy Roddick's Smokin' Hot Bride, the 25 most obnoxious colleges. I don't see any mention of this. This is a significant international piece.
Yeah, no mention of it on the website.
I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet. To understand what Anderson found and why it scared GQ's owners at Condé Nast, it helps to turn back the clock to a few months before the new millennium in September 1999.
The death toll from this week's blast in a Moscow apartment building has risen to 90.
Hundreds died in a series of deadly bombings in Russian cities. Chechen terrorists were blamed, and the new prime minister, Vladimir Putin, emerged from the shadows.
He said authorities would take whatever measures necessary to restore order and discipline.
A crackdown on dissent was followed by a second war against Chechnya. Anderson convinced GQ to send him back to Russia to report on those bombings and the lingering suspicions about who might be responsible, a question widely discussed at the time, but not much since.
This was the real catalyst that brought Putin to power. That was basically my pitch, and they said, great, go do it.
And so he did. Anderson wrote a six-page story centering on Mikhail Tropashkin, a former KGB agent who had investigated the bombings. Tropashkin spoke at length about the inconsistencies in the case and about possible links to the security agency that Putin once headed.
Well, if you're talking about the Russian press, no, this is a taboo topic.
Nina Ognyanova monitors Europe and Central Asia for the Committee to Protect Journalists. She says Russian authorities often turn up the heat on reporters who stray into unwelcome terrain.
You can be sued for defamation, but you don't even have to be sued. You can be audited. Politicized audits are a big hurdle for Russian publications that dare to publish sensitive topics.
Audits can be about almost anything, including fire codes that can paralyze a publication and set advertisers fleeing. Foreign publications are increasingly important sources of revenue for big media companies, and Condé Nast has four publications in Russia, GQ, Vogue, Glamour, and Tatler. And the company flinched. NPR has obtained and authenticated an emailed memo from one of the firm's top lawyers, Jerry Berens. Here's my colleague Allison Bryce reading from his memo, dated July 23rd.
Condé Nast management has decided that the September issue of U.S. GQ magazine containing Scott Anderson's article, Vladimir Putin's Dark Rise to Power, should not be distributed in Russia.
The lawyer ordered the magazine not to post the story on its website, not to run the article in any foreign editions of Condé Nast titles, not to send copies to Russia, and not to circulate it to Russian officials, journalists, and advertisers. Lawyers, executives, and editors at Condé Nast and GQ did not respond to repeated requests for comments this week, and a spokesman ultimately declined on their behalf. But NPR has spoken to several people knowledgeable about the handling of Anderson's piece. There are legitimate reasons for journalists in Russia to fear retribution. Media advocate Nina Ognyanova will release a report in Moscow on September 15th about 17 journalists who have been killed since 2000. There have been convictions in only one case. But Berens did not raise security issues in his memo, and Scott Anderson says he was simply told the company was concerned about legal or business matters.
If you're worried about repercussions and you bow to them, you're basically surrendering to the other side.
The idea that information can be sequestered at a time when people can communicate instantly across oceans and continents may seem quaint. But in this instance, Condé Nast sought against technology, logic, and the thrust of its own article to show deference in the presence of power. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.